Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Today is Thursday, the sixth day of June, 2019. And our scripture reading for this week is found in Numbers chapter 4, starting at verse 21 through chapter 7, verse 89. Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 23. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through chapter 14, verse 35. Also Acts 21. Verses 17 through 26. Excuse me. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio by going to Facebook.com, WatchmanIS216, Instagram.com/Warn Radio, Twitter.com/Warn Radio, also Twitter.com/WatchmanIS216, and on LinkedIn at LinkedIn.com/IN/Watchman. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to listen to all of our shows. And Warn Radio is now on Blog Talk Radio. It's Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk. You can find also go to Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes 1 and iTunes 2, Spreaker, Stitcher, Warn Radio on Acast, and the show videos are on Facebook and Google Play Music. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman and pass them around. The featured articles this week are The Persecuted Gospel and Christian Leadership, The Time When Anointed Leaders of the Gospel Are Imprisoned or Martyred for Christ, For Obedience to the Faith Among All Nations for His Name, Among Whom Are You the Called of Jesus Christ, Paul in Romans chapter 1. Prophet Burden and the Valley of Vision. Prophet's burden, the prophet spoke the light of God with his truth. But the truth had fallen, his prophets were full of wind. Therefore, God sent other prophets. And faith words don't come from a dry well. Faith words, dig your well, and again I say, dig your well. Let it not be a dry hole, but a well full of water unto everlasting life. So check out those articles by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, and be sure to pass them around to your friends. And now I invite the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight? But before
that's okay.
That's okay. We can do it later.
How are you doing tonight? I'm doing all right. Another Thursday.
And,
we finally got some warm weather. And
thank the Lord.
Yeah, and it happened in June. When you were in April and May, you didn't get much spring weather.
Beginning to wonder if we would. I was talking to a gal today, and she had spoken to one of her meteorologist friends, and he was telling her, because of the way that I didn't understand it all, but the way the jet stream is flowing and stuff, that we're going to end up having he's looked down the road through the projections, and we're going to end up having a cooler, wet summer than
really
normal. Yeah.
Well, I would go for cooler and wet.
Yeah, cooler than last year would be okay. You know, if it stays under around 80, that's livable.
Yeah.
That's not too hot for me, for us.
Yeah.
So that'd be okay.
Well, at any rate.
And things will still grow.
They will. You know, they're already growing now, so. You know, but we're glad to be here. And
yes,
we're glad
we
that summer is here. It's been a long winter. Of course, in Wyoming, they can be long. You know, if you're up in Jackson Hole and any number, Cody and a number of other places, Buffalo, you know, there's a lot of stuff that people do up there in the winter. And around here there is, too. There's quite a few activities. But Jackson Hole is really known for their, and Dubois area, for their winter activities. Yeah.
Snowmobiling. I'm not into winter activities like that. Because I don't
you know,
like to be cold.
Yeah, and of course the park is open in the wintertime for, you know, snowmobiling, but you know, but the thing of it is I just as soon do it in the summertime. You know, if I'm going to go to Jackson Hole and up in the mountains, I want to take my pole with me and go fishing. Kind of hard to fish with ice all over the creek and about 4 feet of snow. That's kind of hard to get around. But I've done elk hunting in that kind of weather. And done elk hunting in 20 below weather. And, so it really does. You know, you think of the old trappers and everything here, you know, especially those living in Yellowstone. It was really quite a lifestyle. And
oh,
it was
they had
tough.
A tougher and they had a tougher constitution than the people today.
They had to be, you know, and they knew how to survive. You know, nobody remembers how the, you know, how many people really know how the trappers survived? How did they make it? You know,
and there's a lot of things that they made that's a lost art now.
Yeah. Well, just their gunpowder. They had to buy the bags of gunpowder and make their bullets unless they were able to buy some cartridges. Depend on how far you go back, you know.
Yeah.
But in the Revolutionary War, everybody had their flintlocks and, you know, powder horns, you know. So things have really changed today. And
they have.
And as far as everything in the political realm is still politically charged and politically divided and politically a pain in the butt, Pelosi is all over the internet now saying she wants Trump in jail. And,
somebody told me today that they seen that she doesn't want impeachment.
No, she don't.
It wouldn't go well for him.
But the thing of it is,
well, why
is
does
that
she want him in jail?
Probably because she can't get her way. I don't know. I don't even know. It came from several different sources online, you know, major magazines
crazy.
Or online websites. So I don't know. I don't read
who
stories
knows?
Like that. I don't pay attention to
them.
You know, these liberals you can't talk to, you can't deal with. You know, they're going to impeach everybody. They're going to do what they want, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And there's just, you know, there's nothing you can do.
Are they investigating them? Is Barr investigating some of those other people like Comey? And I can't remember some of the other people.
Well, Barr appointed that bulldog lawyer to do it, and he was having, you know, he's digging into it. You know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, nobody will give this up. And, you know, all the liberals just hate Trump. And, of course, Madonna, you know, she came out. If it's not Madonna, it's Cher, you know. And you have a lot of these idiots. Well, you know, these idiot female, and they're idiots. You know, some of these young ones are just knuckleheads. you know, and I forgot her name, but she made the news because she made a birthday cake about abortion, you know, about their rights to have abortion. Well, she had the cake out there and she had something written on about abortion and she was licking it, you know, political statement on wanting rights. Madonna came out
and said Trump is
destroying all of our rights. No, he's not destroying all your rights. But the bottom line of it is, I mean, he didn't have anything to do with the states passing the laws. I mean, there's a lot of states, a number of states that have passed strict abortion laws now. And yeah, you can go and you can get a lot of various kinds of abortions done. But there's also, for the first time, you know, all these abortionists and even Planned Parenthood are really upset. There's a battle going on in the courts by ACLJ and others who are trying to limit the money that goes to Planned Parenthood. You know, we've talked about this years and years ago. Planned Parenthood has been infecting our children with their brand of bull for a long time. And
that's true.
Yeah. And so
I think they're into the Girl Scouts too, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they are, you know, and for the most part, you know, America, pretty much you've had generations of people that grew up being taught unbiblical, anti-God, anti-Christ things. And,
know,
you even have churches today that are parading their liberality around and willing to go beyond the pale by, following anti-apostolic doctrines and everything else. I mean, we are just full of it in this country. And, it shows, you know. And that's why the people that hate Trump and hate anybody that supports him, we're talking wickedness. And that's the way it is. You know, there's the righteous and the wicked. And of course, say that, you know, they begin to think, well, then are you calling Trump righteous? And are you calling, you know, I mean, what are you saying here? And, you know, the bottom line of it is people do not want to deal in righteous and unrighteous. And killing babies in the final trimester is murder. And that is against scripture, and that is damnable, and it's also blood guilt, which I've taught a lot on, and I'm not going to be for it in any way, shape, or form. I don't care what laws you pass. Now, see, I don't have to worry
about it,
but I'm not going to ever say that it's okay, because it's not. And just like one female, forgot her name, but she came out and was talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And she said that, you know, keeping a young life alive is part of that, you know, pursuit of happiness and life, right? To be alive.
Yeah.
And of course, I've said it before is, you know, these women are always talking about their body, their body, their body. But the bottom line of it is the baby is not yours. The baby belongs to the Lord, and you didn't make your womb. You didn't make all the chromosomes. You didn't even create yourself, and you think it's your body. No, it's not your body. Your life belongs to God, whether you think it does or not. And when you go around murdering innocent life that you have no right to murder, that is wrong. And of course, in America and even in the world, we think that's okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we talked about this on the show or not, but there was one woman who I believe she had cancer, and they said her life was in danger if she kept the baby and recommended her to get an abortion. And a couple doctors recommended her to get an abortion because the baby wouldn't live anyway or something. I don't know what was wrong. Excuse me, but she refused, and she kept the baby, you know, and gave birth. And this story came out not oh, within the last few weeks, and it was 10 years after the fact. Her daughter was 10, and both of them were living well and healthy with no problems. So I don't know, I believe the Lord can undertake when they say the mother's life is in danger, and to get an abortion, I believe that the Lord can undertake and fix that situation. And somebody was told to get an abortion because her baby had Down syndrome or something. They knew that the baby was mentally retarded and had severe issues. And when the baby was born, she refused the abortion, of course. And when the baby was born, there was nothing wrong with the baby. It was perfectly healthy. And she said she would have kept it anyway, regardless, because that was a life that God gave.
Well, you know, that says something, too. It tells you that they don't know everything.
Right.
When it comes to being in the womb, you know, they don't know. And so, at any rate, you know, you have to decide in this world which side of the fence you're going to live on. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the bottom line. And they can pass all the laws they want. They can be as wicked as they want. They can hate us as much as they want. But the bottom line of it is that we don't have to drink their Kool-Aid. You want to drink the Kool-Aid? Go right ahead, man. You know? And, you know, while you're doing it, I'll get the shovel out and dig your grave. There's a few other things we could put on it. You know, like the scripture about the fool who doesn't believe that there's a God. Or how about a nation who is so foolish it doesn't fear God? And see, that's why, you know, the Ninevehs, the Babylons, the Sodoms, the Gomorrahs, and even Israel got judged. And, of course, we're in a modern society, so, you know.
Yeah.
They don't want to believe it.
That we are. Excuse me.
So, at any rate, we are in Isaiah, and we're going to be starting that study in a bit. We've got a little commercial thing we got to go to, but do you want to tell them about what's coming up, and then we'll go to that, and then I'll start the study.
Okay. Refiner's Fire, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 6. Isaiah is continuing his warning against Judah for their sins. The abominations continue from the political leadership to the priesthood and prophets, then to the people. However, this Refiner's Fire is indicative of judgment, but also the mercy to come. It is redemptive for those who will repent. Okay, now back to you, and I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Welcome, everybody. We are here today, and it is Thursday, and we're doing Isaiah. And we'll probably be in this book a long time. There's a lot of chapters today, Refiner's Fire. And, of course, a very prophetic book. And we got a lot of things to cover here. And the first scripture is one that I equate with the smelter of the Lord. In my first book, D-Day for America, outlining judgment that was coming to America, which would be just as D-Day hit worldwide, and it affected everybody. So there would come a time when the same kind of thing would happen to America in its judgment and its fall. It's a sad state of affairs when you think about it. And, you know, the smelter of the Lord, I called it in the land of the living. And in Isaiah 5:24, we talk about, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And when we talk about the smelter, now this is the fire burning and the whole thing's connected to judgment. So that's where we begin to get this picture of the fire and the smelter. And we're going to talk about that as we go here. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that in Israel's day, they were supposed to follow the law of the Lord and not have any gods before him. And they failed at that. And, you know, they still kept the temple going, had the temple priests, the temple prophets, but they would also go out and offer drink offerings and various other things, meat offerings unto these other gods. And then, of course, they got into sacrificing their children to fire. And, of course, you know, the whole thing in that time, in that day, did bring on judgment. Now, today we talk about the fact that, you know, of course, Israel was a theocracy. America's not a theocracy. The nations of men aren't a theocracy. Most of them are just governments of men that in the Gentile world do pretty much what their governments decide to do. But yet in the scheme of things, when we look back into the Old Testament, we see that God judged the earth during the time of Noah. We find that he confused the languages at Babel. We know that he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that when he was going to judge Nineveh, they repented, but 70 years later, they had forgot that, and they ended up being judged. Babylon itself was judged. And so we see the judgment of God clearly outlined in the prophets. And today, when we look at the nations of men, because of where we're at and the fact that we're far removed, people today do not have the fear of the Lord. They do not believe that God is even doing what he was doing before, that he doesn't care what people are doing. And this is simply wrong. And today, you know, there is something to be learned from Isaiah. And that is, if God judged his own people for what they've done, you know, the question would be asked, do you not think that he will judge the Gentiles who are much worse sinners than Israel was? The bottom line of it is that God is the God of the nations. And whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's going to be beyond your say-so. You can pass all the laws, you can have all the technology, you can make as many friggin' robots as you want, you can be as rich as you want, you can buy an island, build an army, surround it by mines, you know, encase it in iron and metal and every other thing to keep rockets from raining down, but you will never stop the judgment of the Lord. Now, you see, that's the problem with the nations of men. They're just men. And so when we talk about the smelter of judgment and what God does, he does it in accordance with his righteousness, his purity. And today he has offered up his son, his only begotten son, in these final days as a sacrifice of sin, so that all can find forgiveness and come to him. But they all won't. And the Lord even mentions that. I mean, the scripture mentions that beyond John 3:16. if you read the context, it says clearly in there that they won't come because they love darkness more. And today in America and around the world, we find many people who love darkness more. And of course, we have others who have redefined righteousness to suit themselves. And see, it's not your righteousness that's going to save you. It's those who have abided themselves, walked in the way of the Lord, in the light of the Son of God, having received him. And those who have consecrated themselves to them to be a child of God, they're the ones that are going to make it through. Now, of course, the world don't want to hear that. And, you know, the bottom line of it is today, you know, we do have a big division here in the world that's going to get greater. And one day you're going to have the beast and his buddy, the second beast. And they're pretty much going to deceive the world. And for 3.5 years thereabouts, they're going to pretty much have their way. And so we are headed towards a cataclysm here that you are not going to stop. In Isaiah's day, all they had to do was listen to Isaiah and repent. When Jeremiah came along, all they had to do was listen and repent. Did they do it? No. Malachi, listen what he says in Malachi 3, 2 through 3. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner. That is a smelter or a goldsmith. It's just, this word refiner means just that, to be a goldsmith, to take metal and melt it down and refine away and purify it. It says he shall sit as a refiner and purify or cleanse of silver, and he shall purify, that is extract, clarify, and purge the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold as silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, when we talk about the day of the Lord, there's a lot of day of the Lords. There's the final day when he comes, and the end will be there. And then there's also the day of the Lord when we talk about judgment, when judgment finally falls upon a nation. And the sons of Levi, the priests, had fallen into disrepute and sin in Israel. And the prophets did. And the whole nine yards. And so they're going to need to be purged, and in a limited time, and in the scope of the judgment, the immediate judgment that Isaiah was talking about, that's what that purification would be. Run them through this judgment. And those who wouldn't repent would die, the wicked would die, and the rest of them would be refined. And many times we read about 10% coming out. And so that's not very much, 10% out of the whole nation. But at any rate, in this one, we clearly see the day of his coming and the refiner's fire. Because when he comes, he's going to come like a fire. You're not going to be able to stand before him if you're full of sin. You're going to run the other way. And like Revelation says, that they will call upon the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, for the day of the Lord has arrived. It's finally gotten here. So when we talk about smeltering, we talk about to purify a base metal from all base elements and imperfections through fire and heat. Now, if you're going to go after gold, you'd have to get it, of course, distinguished from the fool's gold and the real gold. Dig it up. Some of it is encased in a lot of other elements that are in it. In some case, it has a lot of dirt in it, as well as other ores in it. And so you gather all that, bring it together. And even if you have a nugget that looks like pure gold, you're still going to have to melt that down, and that's where it all went. And in that, you had to use heat and usually a chemical, and you would reduce that as you got it hot. you would decompose the ore through that, and their other elements would be removed as a result of the smelting process. And in the final analysis, only a base metal was left behind. And of course, the fact that we find, even in the New Testament, James talks about it, your faith, you know, refined as fire. It all comes from the same place, the Lord. And while we look back and, you know, we are not looking at Sinai and that covenant, we still have to be obedient, have faith and believe and walk in the light as he is in the light, John chapter 1. And if you get into John 15 and a number of other scriptures, you find where the Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We as believers are not to be lawless. We are not to walk in the lusts of the flesh, and we are to walk in the Spirit. Because, as Paul said, if we walk in the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. Now, see, when you get in a modern society like America is and many others, that's what we do. A lot of is walk in the lusts of the flesh. And we have learned to live our lives that way. We have raised our children that way. We have based everything we are on that. And see, today, when you talk about America, and there were pilgrims, they came over to this country because, frankly, they were being persecuted by the Church of England, and they couldn't get out of there. It was a big church, you know, it encompassed a lot of places, and they were able to stay under the radar. Finally, they came here, and there was a lot of different groups of Christianity that came here in order to get away from the persecution of either the Catholic Church or the Protestant, you know, church that was in England. And when they came over here, there were certain of them that actually made a covenant with the Lord right on the beach before they got here. You know, before they walked very far, they made a covenant with the Lord, and they were coming here to bring the gospel and to bring their faith, and that's how they were going to live. Now, those first believers covenanted with the Lord God on the shores of this many years ago, long before we became America. But the covenant remained, and God blessed this country, and we had faith, and we had big revivals. Now, see, you would wear yourself out trying to convince people in liberal colleges of that. And you are living in a country now that is antichrist. A lot of the nations are antichrist. And we find Christian persecution around the world, including in Europe, including in the UK. And we find Christianity slowly becoming what Paul warned about in 2 Thessalonians, where the world will reject the love of the truth. So when we talk about the smelter of the Lord in regard to Israel, it's localized, but also there's a smelter of the Lord that's coming to this world. And there's the smelter of the Lord that's typed upon individual judgments of nation. And there's a smelter of the Lord that's typed upon America and upon the end days. And it all has to do with the heat of persecution, the heat of tribulation, the heat where God refines the population of people that are on this earth. And he's preparing them for the time when two harvests will be brought, and that's the harvest of the wicked and the harvest of the righteous. If you get in Revelation 22, there's two choices. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. So you got the righteous, you got the wicked. That's what it is. You don't like it, I can't help that. But that's what it is. In Malachi 4, 1 through 3, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now that's when we talk about the smelter of the Lord, there is no root left to do wickedness. And the thing that's coming upon the world is going to be one to where there'll be one final and absolute harvest of the righteous and of the wicked. And then the end will come. And this is where we are headed right now. And we are living in societies that are going to grow more perilous. Paul warned of the perilous times. And it's going to continue to grow that way. And it's going to continue to be wicked. And you're going to continue to have people that you will not be able to change their minds. But yet, even in that, you'll find people that will see the light. But unto you that fear my name, this is verse 2, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Literally, on the day of judgment, the righteous will be lined up, and the wicked will be lined up, but they'll be standing before the judgment seat of the Lord, the great white throne judgment. And for every sin they do, those that they sinned against will be there. There will be witnesses, and there will be a judgment that will go forth. And everybody at that time will know what everybody has done, because nothing shall be hid. And you shall tread down the wicked, because the righteous are going to inherit the earth. Now, today we see, especially in America, the divisiveness and the wickedness and the lies and the absolute hatred and threatening to kill our president. People get on and they're not abashed or ashamed about threatening murder. People today are wicked and they're so proud, they're not going to say it's wrong. See, and this is where we're at in the world today. And you have people in Islam that believe that if they go out and murder anybody that doesn't believe with them, especially Christians or Jews, they're going to immediately, and if they are killed during this jihad, they'll go immediately to heaven, which is a bold-faced lie. But, you know, people believe it. We had 2 to 3 years of this, or 2014, 2015, and going forward, of ISIS, and also it's still going on through Boko Haram and others in other countries that are doing their level best to kill and murder and pillage as many Christian villages that they can. And every day, the wicked plot to destroy Israel. And even within Israel, who is not where they need to be, they have the wicked in there trying to plot their downfall. We have people in America that live in America that are plotting our downfall because they want another system. And this, the only reason your enemy enters in is because you've fallen away from the truth. That's the only case. Whenever Israel fell away from the Lord, we can see the enemy entering in. God gave them over to their enemies. Like the Lord said, he said, without me, you can do nothing. That's for sure and for certain. And so if there's any lessons in Isaiah, it's time to understand that if this God is able to do this with Israel, and he did, history proves it, what do you think he's going to do with you today in your wicked world? And especially with the churches that don't stand up for righteousness. You know, the top books that are being sold are being sold by some of these mega pastors who tell you their best life now. Well, I'll tell you the best life now. And it's not your best life as you think. Your best life is you had better repent, get right with God, because you ain't going to have a best life. We are living in the end of days. And there are trouble every day that's going on. Isaiah 5:25, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. How would you like that? When you really think about it. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all this, his anger is stretched out. His anger is not turned away. and his hand is stretched out still. Now, you see, when it finally does hit, of course, first there's denial. You don't think it's going to happen. You don't believe God will do it. Israel didn't believe he would do it, but he did. And the Lord who you served, when you turn against him, he becomes your enemy. And, you know, the wicked look at this, and all they can see is the judgment. All they can see is a vengeful God. All they can see is a jealous God. And even those who refuse to believe in this God don't understand that he's merciful. Because the ultimate purpose of the judgment is to get them to turn back to him. Because even Paul talks about this to Christians, that the Lord, you know, as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. And he deals with us, you know, as children. And if we deny his ability as our father to spank us once in a while, to correct us, then Paul says, are you not bastards and not sons? And that's a lesson for the Christian church today. Don't be a bastard. If you're his son, then get right with him and stay there. Because God says, as many as I love are rebuke and chasten. The Lord tells us in John 15, when he's talking about the vine and the branches, he says, he is the vine and we're the branches, and without him we can do nothing because he's the main part. But he says his father is the husbandman, and every branch that doesn't bring forth fruit, he clips off and burns in the fire. Now, see, these are vivid metaphors to the believers today, that you have to be serious in your relationship. You have to be purposeful. And for years and years and years in America, we got away with this. But you're not going to get away with it anymore, America. And you people living here that are doing this and all of this division, you know, this is stuff that I talked about when the great summer eclipse was here. I warned about the division. And the division is there because you have people that want to serve the Lord and people that don't want to serve the Lord. They want to go their own way. People that want to make this country into a globalist empire, and there's others who want it to go back the way it was intended to be. And so you have a division. And a house divided against itself is not going to stand. Israel had people there that wanted to serve the Lord God, and they had people there that went their own way. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to the prophet Isaiah. They surely didn't listen when Jeremiah was there. How would you like to be called like Jeremiah or Isaiah? And you knew that they weren't going to repent because they were stubborn in their ways. You look at America today. Does she want to repent? No, I highly doubt that. America is actually falling away from the Lord. America is actually turning, and so is Europe and even the UK, to more Islam and other forms of religion. But if you go into the Muslim countries right now where Sharia law is, you're going to find that there's a lot of people that have become Christian. You're going to find that many of them are doing it in silence. You're going to find a lot more of them are actually part of a group of people where regular miracle signs and wonders are going on because they're made up of ex-Muslims who are now Christians, and the power of God is on their side. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that you better wake up to the truth. That if you think that just because you're in Church 101, you've been there for 50 years, you better look and make sure and recheck and make sure your faith is where it needs to be. But basically here, if you're where you need to be, then just keep doing that and trusting God. But you see, the sin from God's people, it's just this. They should have known better. You see, they knew. Their history proves. They knew that their forefathers were delivered out of Egypt by many signs and wonders. They have it written down in the books. Some of the greatest records we have is from Israel and from the Hebrew people who were meticulous keepers of what was going on. But guess what? For some reason, something got missed here. The Lord revealed himself to him and blessed him. He warned him not to do as the nations were doing. He gave them the laws. He gave them the Sinai covenant. They were to follow it. And he says, if you don't, you're going to be cursed. Guess what? They didn't do it. Now you have Israel in the land today, and they're still suffering from some of the decisions that their forefathers made way back when they fell apart. And they, well, you can even trace this all the way back to Solomon, because his heart fell away from the Lord, and God judged Israel at that time and broke it into two nations. The 10 tribes, or the lost tribes of Israel, and Judah. But see, you fast forward to Isaiah's time, and they've rejected. They, of course, they had the temple, they had their prophets, they had their priests. They went through, you know, all of their various things they had to go through. They had all of their traditions. They had all of their feasts. They had all of that going on. And they did their shtick in the temple. They did everything. They had prophets that prophesied. They had prophets that even went against Isaiah and Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear what these prophets had to say. So they were in the process of doing, but their heart wasn't there. They weren't really there because they were serving other gods. You can't take Christ off the throne and give him another throne and put someone on the throne right next to him and tell them both, okay, now you two get together and learn to cooperate because I'm serving you both. Do you really think that's what the Lord God's going to do with America or with these other nations? He is going to bring out a people who follow him. If you've ever read scripture, it says the nations of them that are saved, not the nations of them that are not saved, but the nations of them who are saved, period, point, here. They have received him. They followed him. They walked in his light. They knew what he was doing. And they followed him with all their heart, and in some of them lost their lives for his name's sake. Point of fact, even today that's going on. People who are willing to lose their life, even to the point of staying in jail the rest of their life, just so they can be connected to the Lord. What kind of faith and dedication does that take? Well, I'll tell you, a lot more than a lot of people I see in America and around the world. God help us. And sometimes you think, look in the mirror. Do I have that kind of faith? Could I stand up like that, like Wang Yi? China made a point of him, one of the largest churches in China. And see, Z is the one in charge over there. And he had come out and said Z has made him like God, and that's incompatible. So at any rate, Wang said that no matter what they did to him, he wasn't going to serve China. He was going to serve the Lord. Now, he said, quite frankly, that he wasn't there to overthrow China. But when they started persecuting Christians, that's when he stood up. So they threw him and his wife, and of course they take the kids away. They re-educate the kids. They went through the church, and all the church had to sign a little form saying that we'd put the China first and follow one of their appointed pastors. Because you can only preach what they tell you to preach. China has a policy. The state comes first. China comes first. No God. So Wang Yi said, even if you destroy me and my family, I will not turn. If you've ever read his letter that he wrote, which you can find online, Wang Yi's letter, if it doesn't make you think, then you're not alive. See, and this is the point Isaiah is getting to. You know, the Lord is kindled against you. You're his people. You know, he picked you out of everybody, yet today his hand is against you. And he has smitten you in the past. And by the time Isaiah comes on the scene, there has been past judgments already. But it's going to get worse. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar. That's the distance. And he'll hiss unto them from the end of the earth. Behold, they'll come with swift speed. Well, see, when you talk about an ensign, there is a sign that the Lord God gives, and he can call a nation from afar. He's going to do it during the tribulation. There's going to be a point there when this will happen, when all the earth will be gathered around Jerusalem. You see, this is what God does. He is bringing a people out, and his people are told to close the door about you until this indignation be overpassed. Isaiah, in the first part of this, was told by God, tell the righteous it shall be well with him, and tell the wicked it will be ill with him, for every man shall eat the fruit of his doing. Do you think that's changed? Not in the least. So if you're sitting in a church somewhere and you think you're comfortable and everything's going to be fine because you're in your church, but you're committing adultery, or you're a drunkard, or you're a thief, or a liar, or you bore false witness, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Now, the Lord has made a way for you to confess that sin, forsake it, and serve him. But see, we get this idea today that we'll just confess our sins, we'll go do it again. Now, see, God does allow the church today a lot of leeway because he wants you to repent, and he's long-suffering in this. But one day, the judgment is going to come, and it's going to be too late. And so for the 10,000th time, you've committed the same sin, and all of a sudden you die and you stand before God, and God looks at you. I gave you a chance to repent. Why are you doing this? Well, at any rate, God gives you the power not only to repent, but to enable you to live for him. That's why John 1, 1 John chapter 1 says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you can't walk in that light without his power. But see, if this God can hiss to the nations, lift up an ensign and say, okay, come, it's time for you to judge my people. And what do you think this end of days is like? God is going to send this upon the earth as a snare. He's already declared this. It's going to happen. It says that unless the days are shortened, there will be no flesh left alive. Now, that won't be because of God. It'll be simply because, like in another point, when the Lord comes again, he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. You have people today plotting to destroy the earth. And there are groups of them. I'll tell you some of them. One is Iran. They're waiting for the Mahdi, and they would willingly destroy the world in order to get their Mahdi here ruling and to get what they want. Erdogan in Turkey is trying to put together a caliphate, kind of like the old Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire ruled very, very big swath of territory, very, very powerful. But they also killed a lot of people. There's a lot of blood on their hands and their heads. But see, there are people in this world. There's globalists. There's even rich people. Good grief, we've even had stories out about Gates and others who simply have said that in the techie world and people that have a lot of money, that we've got too many people on Earth. We need to reduce the population. Well, that's fine. Where do you plan on starting? Are you going to kill your wife and kids to reduce the population? Well, of course, they're not going to do that. But, you know, many of them who want to reduce the population, they'll be glad to reduce your population. They'll be glad to reduce you or your nation or your people, or work it out to where there's a massive famine and a great amount of you die. You don't think that's possible? You don't think that's what some of these people are doing? We know very well that's what they're doing. What do you think? You got angels in these nations? What do you think about China? One thing I was raised with in the Methodist Church, I was told long ago as a little child to watch out for the rule of the yellow people and the mark of the dragon, the sign of the dragon, which is China. Because on the day that they move, it will be woe for the earth. And if you look in Revelation, where it talks about the armies of the east, of whom China is one of the biggest. When the armies of the East move, and just by my reckon, there's a third of mankind that are going to die the minute they move. Why? Because there's going to be nuclear warheads and everything else going off. People are going to die. So when the Lord comes back, he's going to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. Isaiah says, and we're going to get to that in this study, Isaiah chapter 24. That's Isaiah's apocalypse. Don't you miss that one, because I guarantee you, you want to know an apocalypse? That's an apocalypse, and that is yet to be fulfilled. Many people look at this, and you have churches today, Christian churches, that will never talk about the Old Testament. They will never deal with Isaiah. They'll never deal with the prophets. They have no clue what some of these prophecies are going to be. They have no clue about what's going on, how it applies to America. Well, I'll just sit here in a rich church and get rich. And I'll just sit here in America, and I don't care if they abort babies, and I don't care if there's illegal homosexual marriages going on. I don't care about the unrighteousness. I don't care about the murders going on. I don't care about the wickedness. I'll just sit here. Yeah, right. Do you think God set you there just to be like that? You don't ever overcome that way. Matter of fact, Revelation 12:11 tells us they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto death. Now, that's not people sitting around. They're born again. They know the Lord. They've received him. They have a word of their testimony. The Lord said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and his angels. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before them. That's your testimony. And when I see all of these people rising up and threatening to cut the heads off your president and murdering him and hating him every day, you know, it's one thing to just have a decent argument and you leave agreeably. Yeah, you can't come to think. I have no problems with that. But we are out and out wicked here. And we have hordes of young people running around in little small armies, trying to bring in a new America. And they're willing to kill, maim, and do whatever they can in order to get it. Now, in the second thing that's happened, ISIS for a long time has said that they were going to send their troops through the southern border. There's a recent article that was out, guess what, about ISIS. Well, we don't have ISIS anywhere. We've declared we've won the war. But guess what? You haven't won the war. Didn't you know that with Muslims making war, they fight a thousand-year war? They're there. And the article talks about all those that are coming across the border. Did you know this month alone we had an uptick again in people coming across the border that are illegal? We stand to have well over a million people coming in illegally. There's no way to stop them. A flood. Congress won't do anything to stop it. And I can tell you that a lot of this is judgment, because we've forsaken the Lord God. Oh, we've got all kinds of churches. Yeah, you can have a church, but where's the heart? Where's the do? Where's the faith? James told him, he says, you have faith without your works. I tell you, I'll show you my works by my faith. In other words, faith in Christ means that what you're doing will reveal your faith. Anybody can sit on their butt and say they have faith. Anybody can sit in America in a church, in a soft pew, that and you have jobs, you have health care, you have retirement, you have nice big cars, and you say you got faith. Anybody can do that. Now, fast forward, you get your butt over to Pakistan and start talking about Christianity all over there. Be like Asiya Bibi, who wound up in prison for 9 years for something she didn't even do, and they're going to kill her. Finally, she got rescued out of that. Or Pastor Brunson, who actually ministered in Turkey for over 20 years in the church. The reason he did, because over in Turkey, they have a law that the Turks cannot teach themselves the word of God. So American missionaries had an opening for a long time to come in and teach them. Well, guess what? it worked real well, and people started coming to the Lord. Who were these people? Muslims. So Erdogan and all the other Muslim leaders over there got concerned. So that's why they started cracking down, and that's exactly why now you find Pastor Brunson in America instead of in Turkey. That's why you have some of them still in jail over there and some of them that have already been kicked out again. We find this all over the world. We report on it every week, just like Wang Yi in China. China, one of the biggest instigators against religious faith, not just Christians. And yet we have American companies like Walmart, Target, and others who are making billions. Yeah. And you know what they're selling? Chinese goods. You know who that helps? The communist government that is Antichrist. Good job. Okay, churches, where does your material come from? Does it come from China? How about one of the other Asian countries, which is mostly Muslim and persecute Christians? You see, this is the problem today. Now, see, Israel didn't recognize what their problem was. Well, when they saw the armies coming in, and once they were taken captive, and once they started going to Babylon, then they understood. Because they really didn't think that God would do that. Deuteronomy 28:49, he warns them. He says, the Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you will not understand. That's the one that he was going to bring to destroy them if they break the covenant. Deuteronomy 32:21 speaks of those who have fallen away, Israel. He says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I'll move them to jealousy with those which are not a people, and I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. This is judgment, folks. Every one of the apostles warned their people not to do what they were doing, not to walk in the flesh, not to do the deeds of the flesh, but to keep the faith of Christ and walk in love. And love does not meaning agreeing that people can be wicked. But it also doesn't mean that we're going to shoot them, kill them, or throw them in jail. No, it means that we need to win them to the Lord. If they don't want them, then that's fine. I may not agree with certain things like homosexual marriage or lesbian marriage. I don't like what they're doing to the children. But the bottom line of this scripture plainly says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. Revelation 22. For the Lord says, I come quickly, and I'll judge every man according to his work shall be. And this is where we're at today. We give them a choice. They have the choice on how they want to live. And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I'm not interested in you cramming it down my children's throat, my grandchildren's throat, and my grandchildren's throat. I don't like you taking the innocent and perverting them like they're doing in some of these. And they have some of these certain story hour readers, men dressed up as women, being really cute in front of a bunch of little children, teaching them stories. You know what they're teaching them? They're not teaching them stories. They're teaching them it's all right. That lifestyle is all right. That lifestyle is not all right. See, if you train a child, the Lord says, in the way he will go when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, Satan knows that. So in order to get it done, and many of the opposition, especially in the LGBTQ area, knew this. That's why they try to infiltrate the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, and the kindergartens and the schools. That's why they infiltrated at the highest levels, even a lot of the liberals in a lot of the schools, in order to get them liberals instead of conservative. That's where the battle has been fought for the last 150 years. That's why today America is so divided. That's why most of the churches have fallen away, because a lot of the pastors came out of these institutions that were already liberal, that have already poked holes in the doctrines of the apostles. See, this is the way it works, and this is the way it worked in Israel. They fell away from the truth. They had people teaching them, no, you don't have to do that. Don't worry about that. That was in Moses' time. God doesn't care. as long as you go into the temple and you do this thing, go out, you can make some offerings to Ashtaroth. You can offer cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Don't worry about it. It ain't going to bother you. He's a forgiving God. Just come in here and we'll take care of it. Yeah, right. That's what your pastors today are saying. Don't apologize for walking in the Lord. Don't apologize for being a believer. That's not our job. No matter how many people are against us, we're still the ones with the truth. You know, my dad used to tell me something all the time, and I've told my wife so many times, you know, it's not funny. My dad used to say, you see, I'm the type that if everybody lined up jumping off the cliff over there, I'd be the only one left over here that wouldn't be doing it. He says, I don't follow the crowds. And Dad never did all his life. He was an honest man. He was a believer. He ran into trouble. Like all of us do. But you see, you have to, Paul said it best. He says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Isaiah goes on to say, none shall be weary, nor stumble among them. These are the bad guys. None shall slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, their wheels like a whirlwind, their roaring shall be like a lion, they shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar, and lay hold of the prey, they shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Now see, this is an oh my God moment. This is when Israel finally realizes that Isaiah was telling them the truth, but it's too late. This is like the time that even Peter wrote about and the time of the flood. They did not know till the flood carried them away. What didn't they know? That it was judgment. Now you see, in those days, it took, 120 years to build that ark. It was big. He must have had some kind of experience to do that, but he built it, pitched it with tar. Well, at any rate, it started raining. Now, we've had a lot of rain. I've been in places with lots of rain. If it gets 5 inches running in the street, now that's unusual. If it gets up to your hips, then you better start looking for higher ground. And when you're on the higher ground and it's up to your waist, then you're screwed. At what point do you realize that it's too late? It's that point when eternity comes and kisses you on the brow and say, okay, thou sinner, go ahead and escape, if you will. Well, I'm just going to swim out of here. There's got to be an island. Eternity looks at you and say, okay, go ahead, try it. You see, when God sends judgment, he doesn't mess around. That's why you don't provoke the Holy One of Israel. You may think he's an old God. You may think he is just jealous and nuts and crazy. You may not believe in the Son of God. You may think all this is just poppycock. But one day, you're going to stand before him, and every word you ever said against him, you'll remember. And every opportunity he tried to give you to repent, you'll remember as well. But the Lord says something to the apostles one day. He says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. They had asked him, why are you speaking to them in parables? He says, it's not given unto them to hear, but to you it's given. See, they had ears to hear. They believed. Now, see, you got to have ears to hear, or you're not going to hear. That's why many have already turned away, because they don't hear. They've got hardened consciences. But when God sends that judgment, You know, he's given you grace and mercy to repent up till then. Now, see, this is why this is redemptive. He gives you time to repent. He wants you to repent. He doesn't want you to die. But sin is not going to reign with God. So you have one choice. Do your own thing. That's your choice. Okay, now in doing your own thing, are you going to follow God or are you just going to follow the crowd? I mean, it's your choice. It's not mine to make for you. I ain't going to make it for you. See, I come from a time when they evangelized. They just called everybody up on the phone, led them through the three spiritual laws, and if they said amen, well, so be it. They were saved. That ain't the way it works. Now, they thought that's the way it works. And some of them, when they answered the questions, really meant it. But for the most part, that's not. Billy Graham went all through this nation and around the world preaching the gospel to more people than any other man on the face of the earth, practically. Especially in America. And when he would preach, every night that he would preach on our television, we would watch him. I was raised to Billy Graham preaching to crowds. But with all that preaching and all those that came to the Lord, and he wasn't the only one doing it, guess what? Look at America today. Look what's become of us. You see, a nation isn't saved by itself. To change the heart of a nation, you got to reach the hearts of the people. That was part of the problem that Trump got in. He had a message, the people liked it, and so they voted him in. And they're still figuring out today how he did it. Nobody knows. He won. They've been hating him, cursing him, ribbing him more than any other president, more any other person I've ever seen in my whole life. This guy, I don't know. He just does it. And they still hate him. They live in hate. That's not the way to be. If we're going to heal America, let us put away our difficulties and let us join together and heal the country. But they won't do it. They're willing to destroy the country to get their way. And that could very well happen. Because one day, the Lord's going to say, okay, judgment is here. And he's going to say, one day judgment is here for the nations. And they're going to come against you just the way Isaiah is describing the enemy that's coming against Israel. You know, in those days, you could tell when enemy came near because, you know, when they got close enough to other villages, the people in those villages would run away because they knew they were coming. They saw them. The rumor had come. And so you could tell the runners and the people, you know, would just be fleeing because you knew something was up. Genghis Khan and some of the others, when they were going through the land, they would slaughter a ton of people. Sometimes they would stick stakes, long lances all the way through their body from the head down through the rectum all the way. And they would stick them on poles all over the place to send the fear of you know who into them. And they got so good at doing that, that people would just throw down their arms, say, we're on your side. That's why they did it. Why do you think the Muslims slaughtered everybody going through the Middle East the way they did? To put the fear of you know who into everybody. And it worked. Because YouTube and a lot of the others played their videos until they decided not to, but the video still made it to the internet somehow. And see, in these last days, when the dark one shows up, he's going to be just as ruthless. Now, if you join him, he's going to treat you real well. But if you don't, then he'll make an example of you. And you will not want to see that. Now, of course, in the Old West, they used to hang them. And on hanging days, everybody showed up to see the person hanged. It was the biggest day. The stores would close. They'd all gather around and they'd watch this. They tried to hide the kids and even the women from seeing it, but they would watch it. Everybody would come in from out of town. You know, it's a big hanging, especially if they were famous criminals. Well, you fast forward to the Antichrist, the time of the Dark One. It'll be the same way. It'll be a big event. Oh, yeah. We're going to kill some Christians. We're going to kill some whoever. You think they're just going to be slaughtering Christians? Not on your life. They're going to be killing and slaughtering anybody that doesn't agree with them. Now, there are some caveats and a few other things in here, too. So, Isaiah 21, 8 through 12, and he cried, "A lion, my Lord. I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, there cometh a chariot of men, a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and the graven images of her gods he has broken under the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you." He's declaring to you how true this is. That's what he's doing. "The burden of Duma, he calleth out to me, Seer, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" This is one of the most prolific statements, I think. "The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return and come." You see, they've been watching all night. And Babylon has fallen. Trouble is in the land. So they go to the watchman, "What of the night?" He says, "The morning's coming, and also the night." But that's all he says. The day of the watchman is here. You're not going to stop it. It is of the Lord's doing. You know, you can ask me anymore, but I'm not going to tell you. It's just that's the way it is. So go back, go home, because you're not going to stop it. I can't stop it. I can tell you about it. But see, at the time when a big place like Babylon fell, you know, that was pretty big. Now, just like when Nineveh fell, that was something. That would have shook people to the core. Mystery Babylon and Revelation. What do they do when they see that fall? They stand afar off. What are they doing? They're getting away. There's nothing they can do about it. They don't want to get close. And they're crying and weeping because that place made them rich. You see, the nations of men have become filthy rich off of America and even the other Western nations. But when judgment comes, what do you do? How much do you really care? Do you want to go there and see if you can help out? Because if you go there to try to help out, you're going to die too. No, I don't want to go there. Matter of fact, I'm going to get in a boat and get off. I'm going to get away. I'll watch it from afar. That's a picture you have in Revelation. The picture here, there's nothing going to do about it. They're swift. They came. They slaughtered everybody. They took it over. They carried away. What more do you want me to tell you? Well, I was told it would never come. My church told me that all that stuff did not apply, that when the end come, it all just come to an end, the Lord would be here and everything would be fine. He didn't tell us anything about prophecy or stuff that was coming. We didn't even know about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We didn't even know about the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, they talked about a number of things that way, but we didn't know nothing like what's really the truth. Why should I be held accountable for what they taught me? It's their fault. You're not being judged by what they taught you. you're being judged for the sins that you've committed. Remember that woman you slept with? Her? What are you talking about? You know, Nancy? Nancy? Well, how do you know about her? Come on. You got to be kidding me. I'm the Lord. Judgment is about sins. It's about you. It's not about the politics. It's not about the Democrats. It's not about the Republicans. It's not about the Muslim. It's not about the homosexual. It's not about anybody but you. God isn't going to hold you accountable because you're an American. He's going to hold you accountable because you rejected the Son of God, and if you received him, you turned around and fell away from the truth, and you went back to your old ways. Sinning. Because the law is there, and Scripture points it out clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But Christ came that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. But if you reject him, Paul says, how much sore punishment shall you receive? Yeah. So the bottom line of it is, in chapter 5 of Isaiah, we get a picture of the judgment of God. Now, it's kind of interesting because next week, when we look at all of this, we're going to be looking at Isaiah's vision. A heavenly vision. It's kind of funny that this thing is put in here like this. Because we're going to get into more judgment. We're going to get into a lot more things. Isaiah does more than just talk about judgment. But here, it talks about the awesomeness and the holiness of God. And Isaiah is caught up in this. There is a holy God. And there is a way that he made for you to come to him through Christ. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and for your blessing. Lord, I ask that you would bless your people, that you would help them to understand, that you would move in their hearts, set their feet like flint on the path that you have laid before them to walk in Christ. Bless them, keep them, and protect them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and receiving of this word. Amen. So remember Isaiah chapter 6 next week. And of course, we've got quite a few chapters left. So we're going to be here a while. And that's just about the way it is. Okay, Tower. So at any rate, don't forget to go over to our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We have a lot of places that you can listen to these shows from. Almost all of them have their own apps and stuff that you can get. You can listen on any device. You can always go to our websites and you can listen to all the shows over there. We have a lot of articles and other things. You can always contact us over there. We have a lot of social sites. You can check those out. So you back now?
I am. I've been. I'm here.
Have you? Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Here I am. So it's amazing to me how it's today. It's just like today, the society. And you see that with America, how God has allowed our enemies to come in. I see a lot of Asian people from the Middle East, and I wonder, not just the Muslims, but others from the Middle East, and I wonder if they're like sleepers, just biding their time, waiting for the opportunity.
Well, there's no doubt a lot of Asian religions and things have crept into America.
Yes, unfortunately.
You know, and it doesn't mean they're all bad.
Wicked, evil people, no.
But the bottom line of it is that, you know, your enemies have found a way to get in here.
Yes, they have.
Matter of fact, there's so many people coming in now, a lot more than even during Obama. And also going clear back to the Bush administration. And they've got the figures, and the way it's going is going to be even more. Of course, the problems down in South America don't help. And it doesn't help that you have a lot of jihadists, ISIS, that want to come over here, too, because they know the border's wide open. They don't forget. So.
No, they don't.
So at any rate,
be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, or tomorrow, I should say.
Yeah, because we should have that posted by then.
Yeah, and it'll be the whole armor, Christian Fasting, Weapons of Our Warfare, 2019, Part 1.
Yeah, a lot of these are designed to help you during times of trouble. So,
need to get them in your heart now before it comes, and you'll be ready.
Yeah, remember, one of the first things the Lord told Isaiah is to tell the righteous it shall be well with him. That was encouraging, especially when you get to the point of how mean these guys are.
Oh, I know. That's for sure.
So at any rate, yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. We love you. We hope all is well with you. God bless you and keep you. Keep praying for your brethren. Good night, everybody.
Yep. Yes, we got to get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow night. Have a good night. Shalom, everybody.
Rest in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.